Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Echo Season 1, Episode 3, Toklo. All that and more right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Who's excited?
I am. So that was great. Excited.
It was so good.
It was so good. I have very little notes because I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah. Yep. I am having a hard time focusing on anything else that happened, though. Except for Fisk being there at the end. Like, I loved everything in this episode. It's a really, really good episode. Killer fight sequence in the skating rink. Lots of iconic moments. But man, Fisk being there means the next episode, like, he sent the murderers away.
Right.
Because he's it's mind games. Here's the question.
And I would never do it to you, Maya.
I don't think it's answerable. I don't think this is an answerable question. I don't think we'll ever get it answered. But is Fisk doing it because he believes in his manipulation power so much that he thinks she's worth more on his side and he wants to win her back? Or does he actually care?
Oh.
Or, third option, does he want to take her out himself?
Possibly.
She shot me in the face.
She did shoot him in the face.
That's a good point. What was on the other end of that call? Was it, hey, leave her alone, or do not kill her, she's mine.
That's enough now, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, just Fisk being in this is... I'm just pumped because it means the next episode, I feel like, will be focused on the two of them and them, like, trying... Like having conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were right, so Matt. I thought they were going to kill the uncle. Uncle Henry, I thought he was done.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I thought we were going to lose somebody before... I mean, we still may in this next episode, but I thought we were going to lose somebody for sure.
We lost Vicky. Yeah.
That's true.
Shot in the back.
Nathaniel Malick is gone.
Yeah.
Aw.
Now I don't have to be mad at his face anymore.
One of my first notes was, Nathaniel Malick, at it again. Because, yeah, we mentioned it in the last episode, but he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think Waterfall Angel pointed it out. And I didn't recognize him last episode, but this episode was unavoidably noticeable because he did a lot of that kind of stuff in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like kidnapping someone and holding them at gunpoint and just being a general asshole to everybody. And, like, I was totally, like, this is real Nathaniel Malick vibes going on.
Got that hard Nathaniel Malick vibe. I loved the shot, though, when Dragula started playing.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like Dragula started playing, and it went straight to his face with just the blood covered.
The smile.
Like, all over it as he's laying on the table. Like, it was a beautiful shot to just drive home how, like, brutal it was about to be.
Ash, you were talking about you wanting your MA
I got
rating
it.
Earned, and I feel like it got it. Yeah, this
I did. Awesome. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
You got a dude shot in the back and then, like, spitting up blood.
Yeah, well, making the eye contact, I laughed out loud when he was looking at Bonnie. I was like, oh, God. But the rest of it was great, too. That was a really, I like a fight sequence. I love a well-put-together fight sequence.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we were laughing as I was like, okay, so why is she pretending like she can't take out, Thelma and Louise over here? Why is this a problem? The two girls and Vicky, we had to wait for 25 people to show up, and then I guess 25 more showed up because she killed a lot of them. I don't know. There was a lot of goons.
In the laser tag room especially, that was so good.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I think they just got the jump on her is the issue, but then once she had people, once she was loose, like, there was just no controlling her. She was
because she was going to burn through. She had gotten out of the things, and they were waiting. She could have taken them when they came back into the room. I don't know. Sure.
I think it was a protecting Bonnie thing. I think she was trying not to let the violence start till Bonnie was out of the room, which is why she, like, said, Bonnie, you know, I'm going to punch you, so they stopped keeping us together.
And yeah, then they took her. I was like, that did not work out.
Yeah, that didn't seem to be a good idea. But in the end, it was, like, she got her away from the violence that she was about to put on everyone else.
The uncle had my favorite part when he, when the guy got electrocuted and he laughed.
And he laughed at him. I knew like Ashley's going to love that part.
I loved it so much.
This is really great.
Oh God. She's rigged it.
We talked last episode a lot about like, what is her morality going to be? Are we going to get some sort of sense of morality from Maya? And like, now that the uncle is like joining her side, like pleading fealty to her as the new queen and like gonna be on her side to go against Fisk, it makes me feel like maybe we are just gonna watch like a gang war, and that's yes. what this show is. It's like, yeah, maybe she's better than Fisk, but she's not good. You know what I mean? Like, she's right. still a gangster.
He just had to see her in action and he's like, oh, my queen.
Yeah, exactly. She does have dragons.
She does. Oh my God. The like the dragon stuff that she was talking about, like, are dragons real? That's what I thought of as far as like imagery when she was given that like that plate to go over her leg. Like when the grandfather was just like, you know, when you wear this, everyone will know that a Choctaw warrior is on the scene. Mm-hmm. And like the scrolling on it looked like a dragon in flight.
Oh, that's cool. That was good. Yeah? He's really good at making things, I guess.
It was gorgeous. Yeah. I came out of nowhere. The girlfriend and I were like, imagine the bruise that thing would leave when she kicks you in the face. Mm.
Yeah. Well, when he just pulled it out, I was like, wait, that's not.
That's it?
Well, what? Okay.
It looked like something that was going to like expand into or like.
It's the editing Matt was talking about. They just kind of boop, boop. I was like, oh, we're just speeding things along here.
Yeah, which I think is like the good call. You don't want to like linger too long on that stuff. But I was thinking about like I'm interested to talk to Fox about that whole scene. Honestly, when she goes to like a pawn shop guy to get her like, you know, and he does repairs, of course. But like when she goes to him and she's like, hey, make me a new prosthetic leg. And she needs one at such a high level. I need to talk to Fox. And I just can't imagine that's in any way realistic. That's like the kind of prosthetic she uses when she's jumping from train to train. It has to be like a crazy high level, like form of prosthetic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it has to be incredibly expensive for the materials involved, but then also like, the amount of time spent on fitting has to be a lot because they've got to like mold her, get the mold, you know, done, like mold it to her cast. And like, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that.
Right. And there are simpler versions, but those are not the ones that people can do the kind of stuff that Maya can do.
You're right.
She did pretty well with that one the temporary one.
Yeah, the jalopy.
During the very long fight sequence.
Yes, she did.
And we had I love a boot knife. It's probably one of my favorite things ever.
Well, and in this, it's like, makes a lot of sense that she would have to use her foot for some sorts of gadgets, you know, like she's got a foot and no foot in it. So she has all the storage for extra weapons inside her own foot. I love it.
Yeah. Speaking of gadgets too, like MacGyver in there.
Oh, yep. Right. What did I think? Yeah. I wrote like Echo Guyver or something in my notes.
That's Skate better Guyver. Than McGecko.
That's what I wrote. Skate Guyver.
Skate Guyver. Yep. Oh, make America skate again.
Really good.
I laughed out loud when I saw that on the wall.
Yep.
God, when she went through that wall, landed on the guy and just slammed his head into the ground. Oh,
little blood spurt. Oh, it was beautiful.
It really was.
So good.
Really good. Just a great freaking action sequence. This episode is mostly just that. It's mostly just she gets captured, and then it's the like tension of waiting to see what happens and whether she'll escape. And when she does, seeing this completely amazing fight sequence, and then just Fisk at the end. Like, it's just such a great, tight, fun episode.
Well, and I'm the beginning really freaking was pumped. Gorgeously shot. That whole story, there was a couple shots in there that were beautiful.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I love the story. It's when she was down, it was like a faraway shot with the first time right before she saw the tunnel or whatever in the water. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is some cinematic stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It was beautiful. I loved the intro, the intro being that old-timey TV, or old-timey movie reels, like Marvel, Spotlight.
The silent
bang,
movies.
Crack.
Yeah, it's like Spotlight has only been shown twice at this point, and they're already doing like cool intros with it. I love that.
Yeah.
Really,
yep.
really love it. And it sounded all like kind of that old honky-tonk piano or whatever. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The thing that made me like almost get emotional during that scene was the father's war cry. Like, I just,
yeah, yes. He gets so excited.
Oh, when he sees her over the ridge and she saves all of them and just sees her go into town on those guys, and like the war cry is just like, it really did get me emotional, because it's acknowledging her as a warrior and yeah. acknowledging that, like, and it isn't a she, it wasn't even shocked, it was like he got over the shock quickly and was just like, yes, yes,
she's like, the do it, slay queen.
Yes, slay queen.
I love the like from a technical aspect on that as well, the filter or whatever that they used was mm-hmm. Reminiscent of that black and white movie, but then the shots that they were using were like drone shots and crane shots, mm-hmm. like up over the trees and everything. And I was like, I have never seen a shot like that in that filter, because like they couldn't get cameras up over the trees or anything. Like, it hasn't been done. So like, it all looked washed out and weird. And I was like, oh, it's this juxtaposition. And like, they're using those modern shots, and like the focus, the depth of field focus on the grass, like, that wasn't a thing that they could do then, but then they implemented it here. And then like, and that helped the transition, I think, when the screen started to widen and it filled out and all the sound became like normal, unmuffled sound.
Yeah.
Like, all of that was just, it was assisted. It was helped. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Awesome. Completely. Awesome sequence.
Completely cool sequence. And I don't know if they'll do that every episode, but we've gotten three episodes so far and three really cool old-timey intros of like her ancestors, and I just think that's just a really cool through line. I dig it.
Well, it does look, what, the next episode is another name, and then the last episode's Maya, right? So that's, I love that. It's pretty cool. Though I am a little mad at her ancestors. I kind of think that they distracted her and she got caught.
Yeah,
right.
That's what it looked like.
You know what I loved about that is when the, I believe that the ancestor yelled run.
Yeah.
But it was blurred out because she imagined a noise. There was noise in her dream. Mm. It went, but like, she doesn't know what the word run sounds like. And so the ancestor yells run, and she's lip reading that, and she understands, but she doesn't hear the word. But in her dream, she had noise, but it was like, it was just like a sound that came out.
It was
her brain would process that information. I thought that was really, really cool.
So really cool.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we need to talk about today's sponsor, a brand new sponsor, Fume. That's right. We're talking about Fume today, our brand new sponsor. Check it out. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious, delicious flavors.
No batteries.
No batteries, none of that. You just have these little cartridges, these cores, they call them. You put them in there, and they just, you're just breathing in fresh flavor when you breathe in with this device. It's very cool. Jeff, you said you felt like it was a nice little like fidget device.
It is. It's got a good weight to it. It's perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
As all things should be.
It's, you know, you can spin it. It's got a little clickety clackety bits to it. Like, it's good for the ADHD brain to have something to focus on in hand.
It's extremely fun to fidget with.
And it smells nice.
It does. It is very flavorful, more than I thought.
You could be that you have a resolution to change your habits this year, and Fume is a really cool way to replace some habits.
Giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for distressing and anxiety while breaking your habit.
Yeah.
That's what this can help do.
So if you're looking for something like that, if you were used to drinking sodas, this is like switching to herbal tea. And the taste really is quite strong. It feels very like refreshing. I like the mint flavor. Which flavor do you guys like?
Oh, I went for the orange vanilla first off.
Ooh. Orange vanilla.
I was just using it like air diffused essential oils around me, like aromatherapy. Like while I was clicking and clacking, I could still smell it from like, you know, a few feet away. And like it was a soothing scent.
Yeah, I liked the pepper. It was something weird.
The maple pepper?
Maple pepper. That was it. I loved it.
I'm still scared to try that one.
Oh, no. You got to buck up.
You got to buck up and try the pepper, man.
Got to go for it.
Right now is the best time to start the good habit with Fume. All orders between January 1st to the 14th have buy one, get one on Coors, so you can stock up for the New Year's resolutions. Plus, as a listener of the show, you get an extra 10% off when you use our code. Head to tryfume.com/universe and use the code universe for an additional 10% off BOGO Coors until January 14th to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Suck on them fumes.
Just suck on it a little bit.
Yeah. There was a part in that sequence in the skating rink where like she kicks ass, she turns to the uncle and goes, "Pah."
Yes. Oh, she's style.
That is a like that. That's a deaf culture thing. Like that is a almost like a cheer or like an achievement of like I win, victory, finally. Like it means so many things. It's so deep as far as like meaning and context in like deaf culture, and it is so important that like. I've seen it on the back of like graduates in the deaf studies program, like on their the thing that goes over their robe. What is that called? Like the shawl,
the sash. Or whatever.
It's sash. I don't think that's the right term, but it's the thing that like that loops over, drapes over, and like they have pa, like all caps PAH exclamation mark. Like it is intrinsic in deaf culture, and it is. It was so. Surprising that happened, that my girlfriend just screams at the top of her lungs. She's like, "Oh my God, yes, get it!" Like, she's so happy about it. It was so, so funny and so, like, endearing to see that happen because, like, that's real representation. And, like, obviously, a multitude of deaf people were consulted on the creation of this show. Like, that culture is in there. And it was so great to see that.
That's rad. I mean, I tried to mention this last time, but I couldn't get, I don't know, we moved on.
Couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I had forgotten that this character was not originally in comics conceived as a character missing a leg. And like, I love that they did that. They cast Alacqua Cox because they saw the character in her and decided she's just the best person for the role. And it doesn't matter that we're going to have to completely rewrite and reimagine the character around her, but it's not only like it's representation, sure, but it's also like elevation of the character and like giving it more depth.
It's a quality yeah. for the actors.
Yes, exactly.
Because like just because she's disabled doesn't mean that she can't do that role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I love that. I'm sure that like, after this version becomes popular, I'm sure the comics version will eventually have like that will be adapted. You know what I mean? And
she'll lose a leg,
right? And it will be a thing for this character going forward that we all know and love about this character. And it's just because the actress had that, you know. And I don't know. I think that's really cool casting decision.
There's already precedent for that happening because Makari. In Eternals, she wasn't originally a deaf black woman. It was, you know, a white guy that was just like a random New Yorker or whatever.
Right.
But they have since changed it to where, like, after Makari regenerated, the character of Makari now looks like Lauren Ridloff. And like Tony mentioned it, like, why does Makari look different? And Icarus was just like, yeah, it just happens sometimes. Yeah.
You wouldn't get it.
That's funny.
It was just like, well, you know, when we regenerate, there's a chance that it happens once every 200,000 years or something.
That's funny.
Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they did a lot of, like, you know, gender flipped and, like, racially blind casting for that movie. But I did not know that about, I guess I just never really thought about the fact that Makari wasn't deaf in the comics.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love that. I really like that they're making those decisions to give representation, even in places where it's not, you know, like the thing we've often like seen is they choose a trait of someone that's a minority and they change it to be, you know, they whitewash the character or they
right.
like, make them less disabled or whatever for the movie version. And it's cool. It's interesting that they're doing that the other way because the actors are good and they're good fits for the roles and they go for it. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I like it. She was so ingenuitive in, like, when you said Skate Guyver, my thought was like, imagine if Tony, like, got a hold of her leg and was just like, we can trick this out.
Yeah, I'm like, we need the vibranium. Where's our,
somebody, vibranium. Somebody trick her leg out. Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Or need adamantium, whatever. Do you think they're ever going to be like, oh, we'll... Fisk in the comics, was he always, there was always just something about him that was kind of indestructible. He always was stronger than the average person. Mm. And I would really love if they keep going with his character and like say he's a mutant or something, just something. Just he got shot point blank in the face. Yeah. And I loved when she signed that too, because she went like that. Like I shot him in the face.
Mm-hmm. Like people get shot in the face to survive. Boop. It happens. It's just, I know, but yeah. I mean, depending on the angle, it could work.
Yeah.
It's all about the angle.
Yeah.
But I wish he was a little bruised up makeup wise. It has only been 5 months.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
Sure.
Brown suit. I was like, who are you? Are we in our Oklahoma wear?
Yeah, exactly.
He went to his special Oklahoma closet.
Uh-huh. He has a different, like, suitcase.
I'm going to the Midwest.
I tell you what.
It was very, like, I don't know, Western wear or whatever. Like, it was nice. It was nice. I liked the
deep blue and the paisley.
Well, it reminded me of, you know, last time we saw him in the last episode, a couple episodes of Hawkeye, when we see him in, like, the Hawaiian shirt. Oh, it's just like, why? I get it. I don't know. Like, fine. Do different things with his wear. And they do that in the comics. But, like...
Melike Mikimaka, right? It was a Hawaiian Christmas.
I just don't know whether or not to put him in the white suit all the time. I think it would be fine.
I'm just imagining, like, Vanessa, where are my cowboy boots? Yes.
I'm going to Oklahoma. Get my hat.
I'm going to Oklahoma. Where's my horse?
Takes off his sarong.
We were watching one of the trailers, and there's a shot of someone's hand, and it looks a little like Vanessa, possibly. And I was thinking that might be who they were calling.
I hope so. She had those long white nails. I was like, please be Vanessa.
It looks like Fisk is just awake, though. Like, I mean, obviously now, but like, yeah, I did not, because last we saw him in the hospital bed, I did not expect him to be awake and up this early in the season. I mean, I guess I say this early in the season.
Healing factor. Just do it. Just make everybody mutants. Let's do it.
Make them all mutants. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Fisk.
Fisk. I don't know. I kind of like the fact that he's just a gangster and just has the power of manipulation. The fact that he's human and the fact, it's kind of like the Joker. Like, the Batman doesn't kill the Joker because of his code, and the Joker being human and being very beatable is sort of like part of it, and like, but yeah, you're right though. Fisk is sort of like this, just the size and the like way he moves his body and some of the power he has, even in those that first season of Daredevil when they fight, it's very, very powerful. And I agree, it does seem like something's going on, but I also like the fact that there's not, so I don't know how I feel about the idea of giving him powers.
What do you think the stakes really are in this, though? Because Fisk has been on quite a... He doesn't win as a villain. I mean, as you look back, like, obviously the villains aren't supposed to win, but he has had a long string of losses. And I don't see that this one's going any better for him. So it's like, what are the actual stakes for his character in this? Does he make it past this? And if so, like, what happens with that
character?
What does
he have left?
If they don't start making him more of a problem.
Yeah. Like, what does he have left? And what does he have left to lose?
I agree. I think he needs to win. I mean, we've been talking about this with Kang over the last 2 years. You know, if every time he shows up, he gets beaten, it starts to feel like not a threat.
We're all like, Kang, who new number?
Who dis? New Kang, who dis?
New Kang, who dis? That's good. That's good. But the same thing with Thanos back in the day. We all kept talking about, like, when he shows up, who's he going to kill? Like, who is he gonna just completely destroy? And it turns out all the Asgardians. Like,
that's what makes him the villain of villains for the Marvel. Yeah. Like, there's like Fisk. Ken posed the question outside. He's like, who did he really kill this entire time of all the Defender shows? I was like, who? He's like, if he would have killed Foggy, that would have brought up his threat level. But he didn't actually, like.
Well, he killed
Who was it? Ben, who did he kill that was important?
The journalist.
His dad.
His dad doesn't count. His dad sucked.
Who? Ben Urich.
He killed Ben Urich, which was a big deal.
Oh, the old
one.
Guy. Oh,
yeah, and
good.
It was like brutal. It was brutal,
yes,
because
that
Ben
was
such a character that was connecting with Karen and all this stuff, and like
right.
Then just murders him. And he also killed all the Russians, which like was a big move in
season
one.
But so we were saying, like, side characters aside, killing somebody important to the storyline is mm-hmm. kind of what takes your villain to the next level and makes
sure.
them, you know, level 5 threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's teetering between 3 and like 4, I would say.
Right. I agree.
I think though his willingness to throw himself into killing somebody yeah. is part of it.
Do mm-hmm.
And I think that was best illustrated with the Russian guy who's like, "You embarrassed me in front of her."
Yeah, in front of Vanessa. God, I love that yeah. scene so much.
Yeah.
I would have, if I was Vanessa, I'd be like, "I'll marry you right now."
Once you're done with the car, you know, just put a ring
just
on it.
Go get it. Stop at Tiffany's. Come right back.
Open the door for me. Oh, not that door. Not that
I'm
door.
A size 6.
Yeah, 5.5, 6. Princess cut. I loved that Vanessa got down with everything. Because at first you're like, oh no, she's going to be really upset. And she's like, "Well, who are we going to kill today?" I was like, "Yes, Vanessa!
Give yes! me that!"
I'm like, I finally see myself on screen.
Representation is important.
Listen, I am a low-level villain in my own story.
She's like, what's his name? Stiltman?
Stiltman.
You met Stiltman?
Turk Barrett.
We like Turk.
Thank you. Yeah, you're like our Turk. You know, you're
yeah.
you're clearly a villain, but like we still
I'm
like
having
you around.
I'm like, "Oh no, they got me again." I'll tell you everything.
Don't,
just let me go.
Please don't throw me in the dumpster. Not again.
I'm in the dumpster.
Oh man.
Yeah, no, I met that guy on a plane.
I remember you telling me that.
You
now.
Met him on a plane. I don't remember that. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was sitting in first class, and I was just like, "Oh shit, Turk Barrett!"
Is he the only one in every show? Right, besides like Rosario yeah. and him.
I don't know if he's in everyone, but he's.
I thought
he's close.
Popped up in.
I can't remember if he's in.
Pretty
Punisher.
Sure he popped up in all of them.
All of them, right?
Yeah, I remember it was all the Defenders. I don't know if he's in Punisher or not. I can't remember.
Oh right, yeah.
Probably though.
They did this thing where like they planned to do the Defenders, and so they planned out the 4 series. So there's all these little things that pop up in all 4, but then like Punisher was kind of like this it was a true spinoff. Like I don't think they planned to do that show the way they did, but once it was everyone loved his portrayal so much, they just like, "Yeah, we're doing it." I cannot wait till they bring Bernthal into the.
I know. Like, I need him, and stuff. I need Kristen Ritter. Yeah. I loved her so much.
I love them all, but like, I mean, you know, one being withheld a little bit.
Oh, Danny Rand.
Sorry, Jeff was smirking, and I had to.
What's that actor's name? I can't remember. He's just Loras from Game
of Thrones.
Ben Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of representation and seeing yourself, as you said when you about Vanessa, I saw myself when the kidnapper was listening to a YouTube video on how to kidnap.
Because oh, no. That hostage negotiation.
Yes. Oh my god.
Militia moms.
That was so good.
That's what I was saying. I was like, how was she let in these? I guess she was like, "Let's just see what happens."
Yeah.
Were you beaming at that moment?
I was beaming, Jeff. I was. And that is a great transition to our sponsor. Another one of our sponsors today.
It's good. It was okay.
Beam Dream Powder is our sponsor today. That's right. Beam Dream Powder. Sleep, my friend. Sleep is the foundation of our mental and physical health. When you are sleeping well, you are performing at your best mentally and physically.
That's why I'm terrible on the podcast today. I haven't really been sleeping all that great.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit up some Beam Powder tonight, actually.
You hadn't been using your Beam Dream Powder, then.
That is a good idea. It is freezing here, and I cannot... I love just curling up with a cup of Beam. Right when
Hot
I'm,
chocolate?
Like, yeah, the caramel. They have so many great flavors, but I love the caramel. And I have, like, a ritual now when it comes to Beam. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to go to bed within the next 45 minutes to an hour. So I will stir that up for myself and I will cozy in with, you know, dinosaurs, why they ruled the planet, or something that I know I'm not going to watch, and just sleep completely through the night.
Yeah, I remember you always were talking about how much trouble you had getting to and staying asleep.
Yeah.
Especially with as early as you have to get up in the morning.
Yeah, I'm a night walker. I walk around the house at 3 a.m. like a sad ghost. But when I do Beam, out, because seven, 8 hours, never in my life.
I love it. Beam's Dream Powder is a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep, and it really has helped me with my own ritual of getting to bed, in the cold weather especially, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It is so nice, so, so nice. I sometimes will sit outside with my hot cocoa and just, like, really, like, feel the, like, temperature differential. I don't know. It's weird.
I know what you mean.
Let the warm steam from it kind of wash over your face a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
While your toesies are freezing off.
Other sleep aids can lead to next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesia, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano-CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed.
And I love that they do that with only 15 calories and 0 grams of sugar. So yeah. I can still stay in that keto zone like I like to do.
Do you know what I do, though? I put a little
sweeten it?
A little bit of chocolate syrup in it sometimes, or I have a lot of salted caramel around, and I'll just put it on the top.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Like a little rim?
I take my stuff to the next level.
Get a little sugar just in it. I think it's sweet enough without it.
Oh, it's definitely sweet. I have a sweet tooth.
Oh, that's why. Okay, yeah.
I dig it. I've never had a thought, like, it being 15 calories, it's never made me think, like, oh, this isn't hot cocoa. Like, it feels very sweet.
Oh, it's delicious. It's really, really good. Put a little whipped cream.
Ooh, whipped cream. Ooh. Goodness, girl, you're giving me ideas.
Woo-wee!
I'm just imagining, like, instead of sprinkling cinnamon on the top of it, just a little more Dream powder,
a little,
you know?
More Dream. Oh, that's a great idea. I wonder if you can make, like, Dream brown. Never mind.
We'll talk to them. We'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll workshop this.
Yeah.
And today our listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder with their science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. The numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep. 93%, people. 93%.
If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use the code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod for up to 40% off. That is a great deal.
Your mental health is important. Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Self-care.
Self-care. Whipped cream. Another moment I really loved that I just think was really, I don't know, it was really pleasant, and I don't know why, was her being hung up by the disco ball and the disco ball sitting off in front of her. It just looked like such a comic book panel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was cool.
It was just a cool shot, and I don't know if it's like from the comics or if it's, it looked like something that had been inspired by a like beautiful shot somewhere. Like, it looked very thoughtful and like, I don't know, just the disco ball on the floor just looked iconic to me. I just really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for her to kick that Indiana Jones style at somebody, but it didn't happen.
Speaking of Indiana Jones style, what about those whip guns?
Catwoman.
Yeah, jeez. Catwoman, Wonder Woman, Indiana Jones, whatever you want to say. Like, those whip, that whip scene was freaking awesome. And like, you can totally buy it. Like, when she rips it out and starts using it, like, we've all played those gun games, and like, those things being used as whips seems like totally, like, plausible. I guess
she used one of them like the opposite direction, like was holding on to the cable part, and like
she kicked it in the guy's face.
She kicked it into the guy's face, like gave me real like Jackie Chan Shanghai Noon vibes.
God, I love that game. That was Time Crisis, right?
Yeah, that was Time Crisis.
And then she had the ski balls.
Oh, the ski balls, it was so good.
Yeah. When she drops, when they finally have Bonnie a gun to her head, and she drops a ski ball as her weapon that she's dropping, it was chef's kiss,
badass bitch. I love her so much. And then like with the Rob Zombie with the Dracula, my smile was ear to ear.
Yeah,
I knew it would be.
Yep.
See, that would have been the Beam transition.
Let's read another Beam ad. BAM.com/MCU. I loved that whole scene. The red light, the music, the intenseness of like the distraction she's putting on the characters, and the fact that she like intentionally led them to be shocked by the thing. Like just the whole
fight was so
much fun.
So good.
And like the mood of it with the red light and the music just was like intense and rad. I want more. I can't wait to see the last two episodes.
I keep thinking
they
about
were
that,
shorter like, though. Did you notice?
Oh, was this one extra short?
The next one and then the last one's only like 37 minutes.
Oh, man, they do that, man. They like to do that. Yeah. You know what? I'm just realizing, and I hate myself for realizing it. I've been saying someone's going to die.
Uh-oh.
Someone's probably going to die as a, like, you know, it's got to be her Uncle Ben moment. She needs her Uncle Ben moment if she's going to have a turn. She needs her, like... consequences for her actions to realize. So it's got to be somebody. And this little subplot that has been introduced of Chula and Scully and their like ex relationship that they're no longer together. One of them's going. I just like, I'm calling
grandma,
it.
Right?
I thought grandma, but then I think about how lovable Scully is.
I know.
I think Scully very well could go. And like the loss will be terrible for the audience and for Maya, but also you'll get that like, you know, forlorn, like he was flirting with her and trying to like hit on her even now, like hey
I know
baby.
I'm like, what happened you two?
I know it really bumps
I need a little context.
It used to drive you wild when I would talk Indian to you.
She was like, don't even sit next to me. I'm like, oh,
come on.
No, that's a don't even sit next to me because I might be tempted. Yeah, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally. I think she was just, it sounded annoyed. Like, go sit over there, you weirdo. You freaking creep.
Those gyrating hips don't mean the same thing to me anymore. I have a feeling it had to do with like...
She was probably, it's grief.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because I have to headcanon everything, I have a feeling it's like something to do with the loss of... her daughter.
So is he not the grandfather?
I don't know. I'm guessing
they're not
he
calling
is.
Anybody.
They haven't called him grandfather, I don't believe. But like, I assumed he was her grandfather, but it might not be. He might have been a second husband or whatever. You know. Yeah, I don't know.
Waterfall Angel had something in the chat, and I am agreeing. I have a problem with who is. I know everyone's related, but how?
Right.
Right.
Because it's like Bonnie was living with the grandmother, but who is that? Where her parents is? Is it Uncle Henry? Is that the right name? That is right, right? The guy
Uncle
who was
Henry
the,
is
the roller skate
owner.
Is Bonnie his daughter?
Well, she was calling him Uncle Henry.
Okay, so where? Yeah, there's who's a lot of parents? Family here that I'm not clear on who is who.
Yeah, and it could that
could
be
that everyone's an uncle,
right? Yeah, maybe this is similar to the. Maybe this is another cultural reference we're not getting, similar to in Ms. Marvel, where everyone's uncle and auntie. Yeah.
Well, it could be that the ancestors that had her helped get her kidnapped to help Uncle Henry as well, because that would be family too. He probably wouldn't have gotten out of there if she wasn't taken.
I was thinking about that during this episode. Like, what if we get to the final episode and like the ancestors like, help, but it's Bonnie that actually gets the moment, like the help her ancestors moment thing that like saves the day because she's also right there. I don't know.
Just assumes the form of Kahori.
Yeah, she's like, surprise. Yes.
She borrows Kahori from another dimension and brings
from a different
in.
Timeline. Like somewhere in the multiverse, I have amazing powers.
Also existed 500 years ago.
Yeah. It's the everything everywhere all at once kind of way, you know? You have to look into a version of yourself.
Somebody said that phrase today on the line, but it was in the middle of a chunk of text. It didn't seem like they were referencing the movie. Nothing was capitalized. And it just seemed, and I was like, are they referencing that? And it was one of the, I should have asked, but I didn't. It was weird.
That's good. You would see a connection to everything everywhere all at once.
All the time. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
All at once. when they tie her hands behind her back, it, you know, just like putting all of these events through the eyes of a deaf person, and like that being their communication method, like when they had her and Bonnie on the floor, I thought they were going to not get them. I didn't know they were going to untie her immediately. And it was just a really interesting thing.
She had no problems.
Like her and Bonnie sitting across from each other, like she's on the floor tied up and like they can't communicate. You know what I mean?
Like I think their faces were, she was like, right? Her face said, hi, sorry. But no, I know what you mean.
To get mixed up in this.
Yeah, the facial acting did do a whole lot of work there, and I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. That was really neat. I liked when the In a New York Minute came on the guy's phone.
Yeah. Yes.
What was that guy's name? He was crazy.
It was, Zane.
Yeah, that makes sense. Zane
was the character name, but that was Flea.
Oh, crap.
Are you kidding? I was like, that guy looks so familiar, but he was doing that accent.
The accent threw me off completely. I did not see it.
I can't wait to tell Ken. I'm going to be like, you didn't notice. No.
He also looks way less weird now. Like, in this role, for some reason, he has a very, like, I don't know, maybe it's just the age has leveled him out
a little bit.
He's
lost some bulk.
Yeah, or has maybe gained some mass in his face. Where he used to have, like, a very exposed bone structure.
Gaunt.
Yeah, he used to have very, like, like, thinking about him in, like, a Back to the Future 2.
Yes. I've just really been liking all the... There's been a lot of recent exposure for Native American cultures in film and in TV. And, you know, like, Lily Gladstone just won the Golden Globe for Best Actress for Killers of the Flower Moon. And she went out there and she spoke, you know, her I think it was Blackfoot or whatever her language. And, like, it's historical stuff to be happening for the Golden Globes, and I hope it bleeds over for the Oscars for her. But I do really, I've always loved seeing the culture and learning about it. And I just like that it's so front and center right now and so much stuff, that content that we're watching. I'm just really enjoying it. Absolutely. It makes me want to do more research, because Jeff and I talk about, my favorite movie is Last of the Mohicans, and it's always had this, I've had that interest since then, and like learning about it and learning about it in school. But everything you learn, there's so many different cultures in this one culture, or different beliefs and different tribes. And I just love getting to see everybody's, you know, different beliefs. And it's just really cool.
Mm. Well, lucky for you, in 10 days time, we're going to go live on Legends and Libations talking about Native American stories.
That's right. That's right. Everybody come back to twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV and check out that. What day and time is that?
It's Saturday the 20th at 4 p.m. Pacific. That's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern.
Sweet. Yeah. Yep. Definitely check that out, everybody. Well, I'm looking at my notes to see if there's anything else in this episode. Oh, some bullshit from Maya.
Some bullshit from Maya.
She's been gone and not having connection with her loved ones. And Bonnie has been messaging her constantly, and she didn't respond. And she gave Bonnie, like, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we grew apart.
Well, how do you tell someone you're killing people for? What's your job? Oh, I kill people.
Yeah, exactly. Right? She went dark, and that's what, like, when she went. When her father died, she said, like, you know, I could have been there for you when your father died, but you weren't. But it seems like she was not even available to her before that, too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the timeline. But then we find out her and her grandmother haven't spoken either. And they say, she says, she could have reached out at any time. It's like, no, you've got two people. One person reached out a bunch and you're like, we just grew apart. The other person, oh, it's their fault. They didn't reach out. Like, no.
Very true. Yeah,
whatever.
Yep.
Whatever.
She's so angsty. I get it, but you're right. She's
like, I hate everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and then Bonnie says to her, you can't even look me in the eye. Yeah. And I think that's the thing.
She just turns and...
Yeah, she turns and looks. By the way, I can't help but do this. Like, it's the outfits and the dark hair and a little bit of the face shape, or like the eyes or the mouth. You guys watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Diaz, right?
Yeah.
The character of Diaz. I cannot unsee Rosa. It's just the jackets, the tight jackets, and like the very dark hair and the and a little bit of the like eyes or something.
The scowl.
Like, that's yeah, so this, funny. The scowl. That's probably it. I just see every. She's walking around. And I just keep seeing Rosa Diaz in Echo a little bit.
That's funny.
Oh man, when you mentioned the outfits, it made me think about the last one we saw her in with like the harness, like the riding harness.
Where did she get that?
I don't know.
With the sun.
Oh yeah. That design that was on that shirt, like I've noticed that.
It was on the shield, on the leg shield.
It was also tattooed on her dad's neck.
Yes.
Mm.
It was on his neck and on her her jacket that we've been seeing her wearing. It's in copper.
I think it was on Bonnie's earrings too.
What's
now that you mention it?
What it's is like, it looks like the sun.
The sun symbol that we keep seeing.
Well, and that's what the symbol is on her leg as well, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's on the front of the thing he made.
Yeah, you had me question it because you said it looked like a dragon, but I think it's the sun with like a...
Well, the sun's in the middle, but the sides kind of have a scroll down that kind of look like dragon tail.
Cool.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, the dragon tail scrolling.
On the sides, yeah.
Okay, yeah, dig it. Well, I don't know. Let's go watch the fourth one. We're going to be back. We'll be back with the other two episodes in a couple of days in the feed if you're listening to the podcast. And if you're here with the live, we're going to be dropping the next live on Thursday. We're going to do episode 4 and 5. So, yeah, I'm really freaking pumped, you guys. We hope you all are enjoying the show as much as we are. Oh, we got a couple.
Did you want to check the chat?
Yeah. We got a couple things from Waterfall Angel here. Kind of random, but trying to figure out the family tree. Oh, this is what you mentioned. Yeah, we don't know. It's, she says, Bonnie seems to be raised by Maya's grandparents, her mom's parents, but she also calls Henry uncle. If I had to guess, it just sounds like there's a missing link there in between. It sounds like Bonnie is a cousin that maybe her parents aren't around for some reason.
Right.
Like, maybe they passed away, or maybe they... It happens. My mom was raising my niece for a real long time. I think that's what's going on there. But Maya's father's brother. So, who are Bonnie's parents and Biscuits, for that matter? I don't know.
Where's Biscuits?
Maybe
parents?
Biscuits is Henry's son? Maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. We're just throwing darts at a board. I don't know.
Didn't she go to him and she's like, Biscuit's going to get himself in trouble. He's impressionable.
Yeah.
And then in this episode, she's like, Biscuit's mixed up in it too.
That's right. I bet Henry is Biscuit's dad because that's why Chula went to Henry when Biscuits was acting up.
Yeah.
Acting a fool. That makes sense. Okay. Waterfall Angel also says the actor who played Zane was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Agent Luther Banks, who was the right-hand man to Rosalind Price. Andrew Hayward equals actor. I don't know. Okay.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Andrew Howard. Andrew Howard.
Andrew Howard is the actor. Gotcha.
I was wrong. It's not Flea.
What?
Oh, it's not Flea.
It's not Flea.
I was like, damn, he looks real different.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Listen, that's okay, fake news, Jeff. I'm still gonna tell Ken it was. I'm gonna see his face. I'm gonna be like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Just having to be like, no.
I recognized him from something else, but then when you said that, I was like, he did kind of look like Flea. Okay, I guess I haven't seen Flea in a few
look
years.
Like Flea.
He does kind of look like Flea.
Thank you for correcting the record.
Yeah,
it's fake news, Jeff. I like that. I like that moniker for Jeff.
Matt, you probably know him from Watchmen. He was Red Scare.
Mm.
The HBO one or the movie?
Yeah, the miniseries. He was in 7
episodes.
Okay.
So he was in all of them, but one.
Yeah. I don't remember his. I don't remember his role though. It's been a while.
I don't either.
Been a while.
Never saw it.
He looked familiar, but
okay. Cool. Right. So thank you, Waterfall Angel. Actually, Waterfall Angel corrected the record. I didn't realize when I read all that Zane hadn't connected as the character we were talking about yet. Okay, gotcha. So Zane was the ninja. Yeah. Oh, I remember him now. That is where I recognized him from. Thank you, Waterfall Angel. Totally where I recognized him from. He was the really hard-assed, like, you remember Rosalind was the lady that Agent Coulson was dating for a while.
And, like, the cellist?
No. That was in season one, then he moves on, and then in, like, season 3 or 4, there's, like, this other organization, S.H.I.E.L.D. is working, there's this other government organization working on similar stuff, and he's sort of sharing information with this lady, and there's definite, like, vibes that they're dating or that they're seeing each other at times, but she has this really hard-assed agent who's, like, her right-hand man, and that is... Waterfly just says she works for the CIA or something.
Oh, yeah, she was the head of the Advanced Threat Containment Unit.
That's right, and they're ATCU. Capturing inhumans and experimenting on them or something. Or just capturing them because they think they're all bad, and our characters want to be more nuanced than that.
That would have been season 3.
Yeah, they're really going hard at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors in this show.
They're like, you guys are never going to be canon, so we'll give you some sidewalk on roles.
Damn.
I said I would watch it the second they made it canon, and they were making everything else that, but why on earth would they leave that out?
Because it's too awesome to live.
It's just too good.
Too good. Well, we'll be back with more. For our patrons, we'll be back right away with more tomorrow, and for everybody else, we'll be back on the feed, I think, Monday night. So, peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.